Bloomington leaders will soon decide whether the city should provide financial assistance to flood victims. Until now, much of the debate has focused on whether it's even legal to do that. But that can or can't discussion oversimplifies the issue. As Ryan Denham reports, there are many reasons for and against the idea that are partially divorced from whether a direct aid program would someday stand up to a legal challenge.
These practical and philosophical questions are being asked in part because while Bloomington's flooding was bad, it wasn't bad enough to qualify for a federal disaster declaration. Facing climate change and mounting infrastructure needs, federal and state governments are generally being seen as less reliable than they've ever been to provide assistance in these kinds of situations. That's according to Justin Marlow, a research professor at the University of Chicago's Harris Public Policy.
You can certainly understand why there would be a groundswell at the local level to try to intervene in a way that local governments haven't typically intervened in these kinds of situations. That's perfectly understandable. At this moment, local governments generally aren't in a good position to do that, but it does beg the bigger question of whether this is something local governments ought to be thinking about doing, you know, and whether they ought to have the tools and the resources and the systems to be able to play that role.
The idea was first proposed by Councilmember Molly Ward, whose West Side, Ward 7, sustained some of the worst damage in the June flooding.
One of my frustrations is that we've been so focused on the is it legal question that I don't know that we have actually put forward too many ideas about what it would look like specifically.
Last month, the City Council voted narrowly to ask city staff to study the idea and identify potential funding sources. Around that time, City Manager Tim Gleason and others raised concerns about whether it would be legal, citing constitutional language that requires public money to be used only for public purpose. Gleason raised the possibility that someone opposed to the idea or who was denied assistance could sue the city.
The idea of directly funding victims. I'm not sure that the city can do that.
The city administration's position appears to have softened in recent weeks. During a meeting September 13th, City Attorney Jeff Jurgens didn't say it would be illegal. Instead, he said if council members approved such a program, they would need to identify and define the public purpose of doing so. It was a clear case, he said, for the city to fund an extra bulk waste pickup after the flood because of public health and sanitation issues, but is the same true for restoring someone's basement. Here's Tim Gleason at that same meeting.
If we did this, if that was the marching orders that I got from this council, his city manager, to set up this program, and it was challenged, and we went into court, basically, we would hang our hat on 90-100-year-old case law, and that's what we would try to use to defend ourselves. We may not be successful.
City councils like Bloomington's are vested with some very broad discretion to determine what's in the public interest. That's according to Tom Skazinski, an associate professor of public administration and an expert in local government law at Northern Illinois University.
Because of that, courts tend to be highly deferential to their determinations about what is in the public interest. But it's not unlimited.
Skazinski says potential public benefits of a direct assistance program would be tax-based stability, economic vitality, and neighborhood strength.
But you need some kind of process or oversight in place to ensure those public benefits are actually being pursued and that the assistance isn't just going to be seen by a gift if it were litigated.
Supporters of the idea say there are ways to craft an aid program that could withstand legal scrutiny. Other supporters say the legal concerns are being used as an excuse to avoid doing it. It's unclear how many people would even benefit from direct assistance. The city's insurer denied over 500 claims from flood victims. Only about half of the 70 homeowner applications have been approved for a Small Business Administration low-interest loan program. Coretta Jackson lives on the west side on Monroe Street. Her SBA loan application and city claim were both denied. She says that's left her with little recourse for repairing the damage, her basement filled with over 3 feet of water and sewage. Jackson agrees that it's important for city leaders to fix the under-the-street infrastructure, notably separating sewers, to reduce sewage backups in the future. But Jackson says that's no excuse to look past those who've already been harmed.
Because now you're trying to use legalities to avoid helping your resident. That's just the bottom line. People need help. And there's no SOA that is illegal to develop a grant program.
Bloomington would not be alone in venturing into direct assistance. Some cities are experimenting with universal basic income. Evanston made history this year by announcing reparations for its black residents with the first phase in the form of housing grants. Jeff Crable is a Bloomington City Council member representing part of the city's east side. He wonders whether the city's existing pot of assistance money from the Illinois Housing Development Authority might be a starting point for a flood relief program.
Just
necessarily case law, you know, legal case law that directly supports what we are proposing to do. There's also nothing saying that it's improper, right? And so the, you know, I think there's a way that we can tailor this to meet that doctrine and to provide meaningful help to our residents.
Justin Marlowe from the University of Chicago says there are also practical considerations that make direct assistance challenging. Disaster relief is typically done by federal and state governments, leaving cities inexperienced at doing it. Cities have regulatory relationships with businesses, but not necessarily individual residents. And a property taxpayer is not the same as a resident in all cases.
You know, there's no system, there's no architecture in place to be able to write checks.
But the city does run several housing assistance programs and offers historic preservation grants. Here's Councilmember Molly Ward.
We do this kind of thing all the time, and we've been doing it for years, if not decades. And so I think there's plenty of basis to argue that promoting stable homeownership, promoting stable and neighborhoods, livable neighborhoods, that these are every bit as valid a public purpose as historic preservation.
City Manager Tim Gleason has more recently shifted toward another reason for not simply cutting checks to flood victims. Here he is last week on WJBC.
I think it is a bad precedent for us to start something like that.
Justin Marlowe from the University of Chicago says precedent-setting concerns are huge for municipal leaders. He says local governments like Bloomington's have massive infrastructure needs. The city of Bloomington has about 85 miles of combined sewers concentrated within older neighborhoods. Some are blaming those combined sewers for the sewage backups.
By going on record as saying, okay, well, our system may not have failed, but we're going to provide assistance anyway. You know, now what you've done is opened up a whole bunch of liability for all of your infrastructure that's in rough shape.
Tom Skaczynski from NIU says Bloomington city leaders should be thinking long-term about potential future liability for damage from storms and how the legal standard might be shifting.
But as extreme weather becomes more common and infrastructure continues to age and deteriorate, at some point there will be a successful claim that a municipality violated its legal standard of care or that it should compensate a homeowner for a flood-related taking of property. And no municipality, and I would say Bloomington is included in that, wants to be part of the case that sets those kinds of precedents.
That may already be starting. Between 12 and 15 residents have retained Bloomington lawyer William Mart for a potential lawsuit against the city for sewage backups in their homes. Mart says he hopes to negotiate and try to reach a settlement with the city first before filing an actual lawsuit. Mart says if they do file, it likely wouldn't happen until early 2022.
The city is absolutely allowed to settle claims. And if the city says these are meritorious claims that it could be brought for damages, then it could provide any amount of money as a settlement of those claims.
Speaking recently on WGLT's Sound Ideas, Mayor Mboka Milamwe acknowledged the dual threat of litigation. If the city offers direct aid and it's challenged, or if it doesn't and gets sued by Mart's clients.
There's risk everywhere, right? There's risk in everything that you do or anything that you don't do. But I do think, you know, in terms of, you know, residents suing the city for what they think we didn't do, I feel pretty confident about the work that we've done over the years, the plans that we've put together, and how they've been executed.
Milamwe says the city has done that faithfully and is on firm ground. I'm Ryan Denham.
The Bloomington City Council is expected to discuss the direct financial assistance idea at tonight's meeting, starting at 6.